Ladies and gentlemen, the passing of Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, at the age of 76. Well, for those of you who are people of faith, you understand that this is simply a transition.
Correct.
In the studio, I have none other than double Grammy and double Oscar award winning balladeer, Peabo Bryson.
Wow. Rashawn, thank you, mate.
Thank you for being here.
I'm honored.
I don't really know where to start. I'm usually not speechless. I'm sure you're going through a lot right now.
There is nowhere to start, really. You know, it's such a great loss, and I think we're only just beginning to scratch the surface of the depth of what was the Queen of Soul.
Yeah.
We tend to forget the good community works she did. You know, like and the good social conscious work she did. You know, we tend to forget those things because her music legacy is so great. If you think about it, that's the greatest body of female vocalists on this planet. You got to understand what that really means. I will miss her every single day. That's a great body of work, and it's singular in its. In its perception, it's singular in its success, it's singular in its meaning. But more than that, if you were blessed enough to ever know the Queen of Soul personally to call her friend, then you recognize that the woman was even bigger than the legacy of that music. I mean, she was the music.
She had this amazing ability to connect with where you were emotionally.
In a brave way that most people are not that honest with themselves. And she would even write songs about being the victim and sometimes being the victimizer. I mean, but she was, you have to look at it like it really is. Actually, she was a feminist, but not setting herself apart from men, not begging to be, not begging for equanimity, but demanding it.
Demanding. I was born, Mr. Peabo Bryson, in 1981.
Yes, sir.
So she already had these string of hits, right? And we, just like you, they were timeless, okay?
Thank you.
And
I agree.
In that, I came to appreciate her music, her impact. Mm-hmm. And then when I did some research on the Queen, realizing that her words were infused with the era of the civil rights because of her father.
How about that? He was a staunch supporter of it. And you have to understand what it's like to risk life, limb, and livelihood with abandon. Mm-hmm. And they both did that. And then you started to have to think about great Americans, great black Americans like Arthur Ashe. Arthur did what he did when... people have to understand that he was alone in South Africa when he made
That's right.
his stand. He didn't have an entourage, not one person, you mm-hmm. know. And Ali, we remember him saying, "I'll go to jail before I denounce my religion." Yeah. And just standing for what was right, the rights that he was born with. I mean, and not someone's gift to him.
Right.
You know? That's the way she looked at it. And that's the way she was. She ruled her. The queen ruled her kingdom with boldness, and in a kind of not an unforgiving way, but an uncompromising way. You know, she was totally unapologetic for being right about anything.
Yeah, we know the very public Aretha Franklin, the queen. What can you tell us that we don't know?
Aretha was an intellectual and a jokester. I mean, you know, she was, if she found something funny, didn't make any difference. I mean, who it was or what it was.
If it was funny, it was funny.
It was funny. And that's the only time that she would come close to any kind of gossip if it was funny.
Okay.
It had to be funny. If she was going to repeat it, it had to be really hilarious. A phone call with Aretha or from Aretha would last. It's random, and it's only going to last 4 minutes tops. Mm-hmm. You know, and she'll say, I was reading this, and I thought of you. She'll read me several paragraphs and say, what do you think? And I'll give her my opinion, and she'd give me her opinion, and we'd decide whose opinion was better. And, and she would say, okay, bye, click. That's it's it. Over.
Yeah.
And you just be holding the phone and you say, well, you know, that was Aretha.
Right.
Okay. You put it down eventually and you go, okay, that's just who she is and how she is. But being on stage with her is different. And being chosen by her to be in her presence and to share music with is probably one of the greatest validations of my entire life, my entire career. Because
that's big.
It is huge. I mean, that's how we met.
Yeah.
I was responding to a command performance from the Queen. You know, mm-hmm. It was her birthday, her house. Mm. She wanted me. I have no idea why, and I still don't. But we've been friends from that day to this one and shall be until the day I have no more breath left in my body. And I hope when my bones are dusted, somebody will sit here and talk about me. I think one of the things I want to say is that it's far too often in our culture that we don't appreciate our icons and our treasures while they're here. I'd like that trend to change, and I'd like to receive my flowers while I can still breathe their fragrance instead of post-flowers don't mean very much.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I feel. And I think that – I think we're getting better at it, but I still think that our history as it's being made is far too disposable.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't like where we are where that's concerned. I mean, if I want to get my accolades on a daily basis, I have to go to Europe or Asia. And that's what we've been doing that for. Artists have been doing that and writers have been doing that since forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are days when I feel like James Baldwin, you know, or there are days when I feel like Josephine Baker, or, you know, there are days, you know.
I know why she chose you.
Why?
Because greatness recognizes greatness. Young folks will put it this way, real recognizes real.
Ah.
But she could recognize in you the quality and gifting.
Well, it's like there are people in her, because she didn't fly, people in her camp would always try to get me to get on a boat with the Queen Elizabeth or Queen Mary or something to go to Europe so she would go, right? Because, mm-hmm. You know, she was in that program where you go get on a plane and you taxi out, you just don't take off. She was trying to get past her fear of flying.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she wasn't the only one. Luther Vandross, and they had that in common. And you have to understand, she had these great friendships and this huge sisterhood that was so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every great iconic female vocalist or writer was friends with her in some way, shape, or mm-hmm. form. I mean, you wouldn't know it. I mean, Aretha's an intellectual. She is the warmest, most gracious human being you'll ever want to be around. And she's probably the most inspiring in that. We talked about this a couple of times today. When Pavarotti could not make a performance, Aretha took his place, his spot, and sang an Italian aria.
What?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, again, we're just starting to scratch the surface of the depth of the Queen of Soul. I mean, not just the greatest body of work of any soul singer, of every vocalist on this planet hopes to be some portion of what she was born with and born being. What she was every single day and every single moment of her life, she was Aretha Franklin, and everybody else was a copy.
Peebo Bryson, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
All right. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
1380 WAOK. For 2 days of soul music.